Psalms 116. Commencing at verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vow unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. I'm going to use for a thought, give God what you have. Thank you, worships. Give God what you have. How can I give a God something who has everything? How can I give the Lord something that would make him feel so good inside that he would want to give something back to me? My brothers and sisters, before the message is over, you will see that God has placed something inside of you that he desires to have from you. David opens up this psalm. In verses 1 through 8, he is pretty much telling you, this is why I owe God. Verses 1 and 2, he's saying, I owe God because he listened. He heard my voice. Verse 3 and 7, not only did he listen, but he lifted. Think about the times when God lifted you. When the world had knocked you down and all of your so-called ace boon coons walked away from you and left you lying on the ground all by yourself. But God allowed them to walk away just to prove to you that I'm the only one have the power to lift you. So David said he listened, he lifted. And in verse 5, not when he lifted me, he says, God was merciful. And my brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but I thank God that he's merciful. Because it is mercy that has allowed us to make it this far. As low down and as good for nothing as we are, God still had mercy on you and me. Come on, don't sit here like you've been like this all of your life. It took a merciful God to put up with your foolishness, and yet he still brought you from a mighty long way. You ought to tell your neighbor, yeah, I've been foolish. And matter of fact, I'm still doing some foolish things, but it is grace and it is mercy. Look at verse 6. He even goes further. David said, this is why I owe him. Not just because he listened and lifted and merciful, but then he says in verse 6, he preserves the simple. Let me break it down for you. Simple simply means stupid. And I don't care how educated you are. You have said and done some stupid things. You have made some stupid choices. You even hung around people just as stupid as you are. But God said, even with your stupidity, I still preserved you. Somebody ought to be praising God right now. With all of that you had going on wrong, God said, I still took care of you. So David says, I owe him because he listened, he lifted. But then in verse 8, I owe God because he liberated me. He delivered me. And I wonder, is there any delivered people in the church right now? Oh, you see, deliverance from God is not a one-time thing. He delivers me every day. Every morning, new mercies I see. Yesterday's mercy can't handle my today's problem. So I'm so glad that he gives me new mercies. David says, I've been liberated from the sentence. I've been liberated from my sorrow. I've been liberated from stumbling. And since God listened and lifted and liberated me, I got to give God what I owe him. And somebody ought to come here and drop a payment, because you are past due on your payments. And God been trying to call you through the aid of the Holy Spirit to let you know your payment is past due. I woke you up last week, but you didn't praise me yet. I put food on your table, but you haven't praised me yet. It's past due. I healed your body when the doctor said it was over. Your payment is past due. Why don't you go ahead on and say, God, here's two payments. Here's three payments. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you a payment in advance. I'm going to pay you on principle, because I know next week you're going to still bless me somehow. How can I give to a God who has everything? God has already given you the tools to give back to him. You got two eyes for observation, two ears for information, two nostrils for inhalation, two hands for salutation and celebration, two legs for transportation, and lips and tongue for conversation. So if God have given me two eyes, I can see how far he brought me. If God has given me two ears, I can hear the good things of the Lord. If God have given me breath, then he woke me up this morning. If God have given me hands, then I raise my hands in the sanctuary. If God have given me legs, then I stand up on them, no matter how bad they're hurting, and tell God with my lips and my tongue, thank you for being so good. He's already given you the tools you need to bless him. David says, all this God has done, I can't help but praise. And see, there is a disease that's going around that you should not avoid. It's a disease called the I can't help it. And if you got the I can't help it, people will see it and hear it from you. Because if you got the measles or the chicken pox, you don't have to tell them, they can see it. And if you got a case of the I can't help it, then people ought to see that you just can't help it. Y'all better watch it. It's very contagious. Even with the mask on, it'll penetrate the mask. You can wash your hands as much as you want to wash your hands. Even put gloves on, it'll penetrate all of that. Because when you start thinking about how far the Lord has brought you, when you start thinking about that it was nobody but the Lord, I just get a case of the I can't help it. I know I'm getting on your nerves, but I just can't help it. I know me standing and sitting and waving and shouting may be racking your brain, but I just just can't help it. Now, David says, then he goes to the heart of the text. He says, after thinking about all that God has done for me, he opens up with a question. What shall I render unto the Lord for not some, but all of his benefits? Then watch this. He makes it personal. He didn't say toward us. He says towards me. You just missed it. When it's personal, your praise is not depending on who's here and who's not. Because when God personally healed your body, you ought to personally praise God. Oh, y'all don't get what I'm saying? When God personally came through for you, when all the doors were slammed in your face, you ought to personally praise God. When you look at the word render, it means to provide or to give. And I don't know about you, when it comes to rendering to the Lord, I'm going to give God my best. He says, for all of his benefits. Now, benefits are advantages for profit or gain from someone or something. In other words, you are successful in your endeavors because God benefited you. Let me get what I'm saying. You are still alive. Although COVID have put a lot in the ground, it's because God benefited you. And when you think about his benefits, over the last few years, what we went through, and here you are right now. David said, when I think about it, I just got to give God all of the praise. If God will send you an invoice for everything he has done for you, you will never be able to pay him back. How much can you pray God for another breath? How much can you pray God for another healing? How much can you pray God for another deliverance? We can't pay him back, but he said, if you just make a joyful noise. He said, you can't pay me back for all I've done for you, but if the redeemed of the Lord would just say so. He said, I'll be satisfied if you just say so. If you walk up in Mount Zion and just say, I wish I had some people that come here to say so. He's been good, then you ought to say so. He healed your body, then you ought to say so. He put money in your pockets, then you ought to say so. All your bills were paid without you paying them. You ought to say so. Now, David said, what shall I render? You got to have an appreciation, write that down, for what God has done. He says, what shall I render? Look at the question. He walks into the presence of God and he says, what shall I render? And reason why some of us cannot get with it when it comes to worship, because we wake up on Sunday morning asking the wrong question. You wake up saying, what I'm gonna wear. But you should be saying, when I get there, what shall I render? You wake up wonder how many people is going to be there. But you should be saying, what shall I render? I wonder what songs the choir is going to sing. You should be saying, what shall I render? I wonder if Reverend Green or Reverend Kirk or Reverend Dearborn or Reverend Slaughter going to preach. You shouldn't be asking those questions. The question you should be asking is, when I get there, what shall I render? And when you woke up this morning and you beheld a brand new day and you realized that it was another day's journey, you ought to say, well, I'm not going to wait till I get to Mount Zion. I'm going to put this thing into practice right now. I'm going to start praising him just where I am. Mount Zion is just going to be the after party. But the real part is when he woke me up this morning. This is what gets to me more than anything. Watch this. Hear me good. When I go to the movies, I go to watch the movie. When I go to the Saints game, I go to watch the Saints play and win. When I go to the grocery store, I go to get food. So what bothers me is this. Why do you come to worship when you don't plan to worship? Why you came here this morning if you didn't plan to worship? Why did you get up on a Sunday morning, put clothes on as high as gas is, and drive across town and sit here and you didn't come? I thought this was a house of prayer and worship. You came here to sit like a bump on the lawn. You could have did that at the house. But if I come to the house of worship, I come here to worship. What shall I render? David says, what I'm going to do in verse 13, he said, I will take the cup of salvation. And you know, there's three fundamental cups. There's a cup of human suffering, where Jesus mentally suffered for our salvation. There's a cup of human blessing, our cup runneth over. But then the cup of salvation is the cup that Jesus died for us. And watch this, here it is. The reason why before Jesus even came in the flesh, David calls it the cup of salvation. And in that cup was Jesus beating. In that cup was the thorns placed on his head. In that cup was the spikes in his hand. In that cup was his feet being riveted and spiked together. In that cup was him being pierced in the side. And this cup Jesus saw in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. And so David is saying to us, since he has died, that we may have salvation, we need to take the cup of salvation and oh, taste and see how good the Lord is. Isn't it good to know that you're saved? You ought to praise God. Just the idea, you know you're saved. You might be wretched, but you're still saved. You have some shortcomings, but you're still saved. You ain't all of that in a bag of chips, but you're still saved. Take the cup of salvation. Watch this. Jesus came in human form. God came as in human form. He came as God in the body. The word was made flesh. And according to Mendel's law of genetics, we are 50% of each of our progenitors. That's why you look like your mama, but you act like your daddy.
All right.
I'm going to let that sit in the gumbo just a little while. So it necessitates that Jesus' father be God and his mother was human. Because he had to be in the flesh, and he was just as much as God as he was human, and just as much human as he was God. You see, on his mama's side, he needed bread to eat. But on his daddy's side, he was the bread of life in a starving land. On his mama's side, he needed water to drink. But on his daddy's side, he was the fountain of blood that never, I wish I had somebody to. On his mama's side, he needed water to be baptized and to be cleansed. But on his daddy's side, he walked on top of water. Oh, I wish I had somebody to testify that God is still good. On his mama's side, he was a carpenter by trade. But on his daddy's side, he was the savior of the world. He was the rock of ages. On his daddy's side, he's the king of kings. He is the lord of lords. He's my bridge over troubled water. And I'm glad that he powers on his daddy's side. Take the cup of salvation. You got to have an appreciation for what God has already done. Then, watch 13b. He says, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. Not only do I have appreciation for what he's done, but then secondly, I have to admonish him in praise. Notice, David says, I call on the name of the Lord. Now, it sounds like that this is a prayer, but this is not a prayer. Because in a prayer, it is followed by what is called an ideology. And when an ideology is attached to the prayer, it tells why the person is praying and what's going on. So since David says, I'm going to call on the name of the Lord, is no ideology attached, then David is not praying, he's praising. And in his praise, he calls on God's name. And I wonder, when it comes to worship and praise, it should be a part of our DNA. It just should be a part of the Christian's nature to praise. You shouldn't have to be cheerleaded in the praise every Sunday. It should be a part of your nature, because the nature of a thing tells what it is. A dog barks, a cat meow, fish swim, birds fly, and a saint shout. I wish I had somebody. A dog don't meow, a dog barks. And see, if you are a true child of God, you ought to come in here with a shout and praise on your lips. You ought to be able to lift up your voices in the sanctuary and tell God, thank you for all of your benefits. I know, just about done. I know we have some young folk and old folk with us this morning. But regardless of your age, you still should have a praise on your lips. Because what I've come to discover, Reverend Kirk, that young folk and old folk, they both praise God, but they praise God for different reasons. See, young folk shout over stuff God kept them from. Old folk shout over what God took them through. Can I say that again? Young folk shout over what God kept them from. I was at the party, it was a gunshot, but I made it home safe. They praise God over that. But we old folk praise God from what he brought us through. Got so drunk and didn't even know how you made it home. It was by the grace of God. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, I can't tell y'all this morning, I've been through some stuff. And I don't think I'm the only one up in here, up in here, up in here, up in here that have been through some stuff. I need to talk to that small group that been through hell and high water and didn't know how you was going to make it through, but God brought you over.
About to go.
No, I ain't gonna lie, I ain't about to go. I'm gonna stay here till the God says, oh. Now, if you wanna look at your watch, you wanna go walk out on God, bless and be my guest, but I'm gonna stay here until God said it's done. Watch this. You have an appreciation for what he's done. You have to admonish him in praise. But then finally, you have to acknowledge him in public. Watch this. Look at verse 14. He says, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all the people. So that dispenses with all of this foolishness that I can just praise God sitting down quiet. That's not what the word said. He said, I will pay my vows. In other words, I will pay my debt of praise. And when I do it, everybody is going to see it. Now, why is it that when it comes to praising God, we always want to say there's different ways? But when we were in the streets and we were at the party drinking and sipping on the same stuff, we all act the fool together, especially when your song was played. Lord, don't catch me in a house party and pay the electric slide. You better get out the way. And look at your older folk in here hollering about, oh, Reb, that ain't me. But, oh, yeah, y'all had juke joints. You had John Lee Hooker. You had B.B. King. You had Muddy Waters. You had Gladys Knight and the Pips. And you got there and you dropped it like it was hot. And one time you dropped it and realized you wasn't as young as you used to. And you dropped but couldn't get up again. Oh, yeah, you didn't been there. But I wish I had somebody can testify. If I can do it for the devil, then I can do it for the Lord. If I wasn't ashamed to do it with the devil, I'm not going to be ashamed to do it with God. Psalms 104 said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, because the Lord is good. He said, you have to acknowledge him in public. Watch this. There are three M's you got to give God. Since you want to know what shall I render, I'm going to give you three M's, and I'm going to let you go. Two of these M's you will shout on, but one of these M's you're going to put your arm down. The first M is me. Somebody ought to shout. I need to give God me. I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, and prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The first M is me. The second M is my mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Y'all ought to be praising God. I got to give him me and my mind, but then thirdly, I got to give him my money. Oh, you ain't going to shout on that. Look at y'all. There ain't nobody standing up now. But if I'm going to give God the true